God is good. He is watching over us. He's taking care of us. All of us students called her by her first name, B, even though she was one of our college instructors. She wanted it that way. If we tried to use her Mrs., she would correct us quickly and say, "It's just B." She was so loving. She was always pleased to see us. She was happy to have us drop by her house. She grilled us on our lessons. She made sure we were getting our homework done. And then she fed us with her cooking. And it was good. She poured mountains of attention into our lives and to anybody who would come by and be part of her world. Just suggest a need and she would be there to help you as much as she possibly could. Her name was B. Selig, and she was one of Intermountain Bible College's music teachers, instructors, professor. And because of her love for Jesus and others, she did something that really impressed me. My major was music, church music. She spent hours and hours selecting and transposing and recording dozens of my favorite songs that I sang on a regular basis in behalf of the college. And she picked out a bunch of songs I didn't know, too. And she said, "You need to learn these." I still have those recordings. And if time would allow, I would love to sing some of those songs for you. That she performed the music in my vocal range to support my performance for the glory of God. It wasn't for her glory, even though she could have outplayed me and outperformed tremendously. A beautiful pianist. Our key scripture today highlights the lesson from Jesus Christ through his example and instruction for every follower of the Lord to practice this idea of godly love of honoring one another. We have seen over the many lessons that God has many aspects of love. Godly love is revealed in other texts regarding unity, devotion to each other, acceptance of one another, submitting to one another, and many more aspects of love, the qualities of love as God would have them. But this message will focus on just this one quality of honoring one another. Dr. Jean A. Getz wrote a book many years ago titled Build Up One Another, in which he based his different studies, these different lessons on the scriptural admonitions for Christians to apply God's love in the many various ways. There are several one another's throughout the New Testament, and he addresses each one of those one another's. And of course, one of those is honor one another. And in regard to that, in this chapter on honoring one another, he says, quote, "Every Christian should strive to make other believers look and sound good. Every Christian should rejoice when others achieve, when others are honored, when others are successful. When this happens, the body of Christ will function beautifully and mature and grow in Christ." So today, as we look at this study, I want to encourage you, challenge you to look at your life and see, examine how much you are helping to honor others. What are you doing to honor fellow Christians, to lift them up? What are you doing to honor other people, helping them to mature and grow? The study of Scriptures repeatedly reminds us that God demands obedience to all of His commands. The Apostle John was clearly shown that Jesus is the Son of God, that His words are the very words of God, and they must be fully obeyed, including this idea of honoring one another. Before we go into the text, let's go to God in prayer. Thank You, Father, for loving us, honoring us with sending Your own Son to become our Savior, our Redeemer. Thank You for that acceptance of us through Your Son's blood. We thank You for redemption and transformation, for all that You do for us and in us, for giving us Your Spirit to live with us, for giving us and preserving for us the Scriptures so that we can read and study and learn more. Thank You for the church that You established. Help us to live by the standards of being Your church. Father, we look forward to the return of Christ, the final reward. But in the meantime, help us to be Your people, to honor You, to live in Your love, to represent You, because You are love. Lead us and guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are up to John chapter 13. We're going to be looking at the first 11 verses of John chapter 13. And so let's read that passage. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own and His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside His garments, and taking a towel, He girded Himself. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. So He came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do You wash My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, You do not realize now, but You will understand hereafter." Peter said to Him, "Never shall You wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Well, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For He knew the one who was betraying Him. For this reason, He said, "Not all of you are clean." Now, most people would spend time focusing on the factor of the action of washing of feet. But let's focus on the idea of honoring one another today in regard to this illustration that Jesus gave. The first point I want to deal with is Jesus modeled living a life of godly love. Jesus modeled this lifestyle. We see it referred to in verse 1, verse 4. The Apostle Paul was inspired to give a lengthy description of love in what book? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. If you're not familiar with that passage, I encourage you to take some time to read it and to focus on it. These are the traits that are part of love. Godly love. Not the worldly love, but the godly love that we should be copying, that we should be imitating, that we should be implementing in our daily life. The more we examine the life of Jesus as recorded in our Bibles, the more we discover as to how we should live our lives, and they will be following that same pattern that Paul lists of practicing love. Satan's temptations radically lured Judas Iscariot away from the situation, away from the truth of who Jesus was. Verse 2 reminds us that Judas Iscariot is with Jesus and his disciples at the beginning of the evening of their Passover meal. This is the final night that Jesus is with the disciples, and he's going to share some very important lessons and teachings with the disciples about love, practicing love, implementing love in their life. John has already revealed that Judas Iscariot had what? Sticky fingers. He was always getting into the pot, the treasury of the disciples, using it for his own benefit. And when we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 3 and following, it indicates that Judas Iscariot had already begun negotiations with the priest on how he could betray Jesus. He's already on this trail. He's already made up his mind on what he's going to do. And where is he at the moment? He's right there sitting with Jesus and the other disciples, acting like he is a faithful follower. Playing the game, pretending. And Jesus let him. What would we do? Jesus was practicing humility, even honoring Judas Iscariot, washing his feet. Satan's influence has caused every human, has cursed every human with problems. Satan's influence has cursed every human with problems. Before the night is finished, all of the disciples will flee from the one that they promised to never leave. Peter will deny that he even knows the Savior three times before the cock crows the next morning. Judas will fulfill the action of betrayal before the night is done, bringing the enemy right to the garden scene where Jesus will be taken, where Jesus will give himself to the enemy. Romans chapter 3 summarizes Old Testament scriptures that how many people are sinners? All of us. All of us are sinners. Satan has done a bang-up job in influencing us. But it didn't surprise God. God had a plan, and he's fulfilling that plan right now through Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus will do in the next 3 days, new life will become available, not just for them, but for all who will believe. And we are benefactors of that evening, of that event. Aren't you thankful? Praise God! We have the promise of life because of what Jesus went through that night and the following hours. Jesus was God's Son who never gave in to temptations from Satan's schemes, his tricks, his lies, his deceit. Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin, we are told in Hebrews. Since he never fell for Satan's tricks, he became the only person capable of paying for all human sin. And that was God's plan all along. Jesus had to, as God, had to put on human flesh and come into this world, put up with us human beings, living that perfect life as an example to us, a life of humility. He's King of Glory, and he came down and is now acting as the lowliest of servants, washing filthy feet. Why are the feet filthy? Because they didn't have cars. They didn't even have donkeys, probably. They're out walking in the streets that are full of people, cows, horses, sheep, goats. And you know what happens when they pass through? You've been to a parade, haven't you? And your feet are walking through all of the mess. And none of the disciples took time to wash each other's feet because they were too good for that. That's not their job. And the King of Heaven does it for them. He's about ready to go and pay for all of our sin. He paid for the entire human sin debt, taking upon himself every human sin. The worst criminals of today, yesterday, ages past, those yet to come, Jesus paid it all. He bore all human sin. On this Passover occasion, in the next chapters, Jesus gives another illustration about love. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Then he turns to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." If you do what I command you. Well, that took Judas Iscariot out of the picture because he wasn't following directions. But how about the rest of the guys? How well did they do that night? The next day? The next 2 days? They had to go through some transformation still. And I would just like to interject right here that you may not be doing the best job of being a Christian, but keep your focus. Keep trying. Keep surrendering your life to Jesus. He's got some plans for you, and they're going to surprise you. He's going to take you places you didn't think you'd ever go. You're going to do some things you never thought you would do if you follow His commands. Hang in there. Because Jesus did what for us? He conquered the power of sin, the power of death, with life. Jesus rose from the grave so that we can have life. We are His friends. And we have life when we walk with Jesus. The second point of this message is Jesus gives humanity a direction to pursue. We hear stories about people who get lost whenever they go out camping or go hiking. They go to someplace new. I really don't like to go on just random drives. I like to know where I'm going because I can get lost. I've gotten almost lost here in Albuquerque a couple of times. I thank God for this little map app on my phone to figure out where I am to get to some places. But the biggest thing is, all of us have gotten lost. And it's more serious than just directions. It's we are lost in sin. We've gotten off the path of God. We have disobeyed God's rules, and so we are lost in sin. Unless we walk with Jesus. Unless we accept Jesus. The Scriptures warn us that we easily get misled by Satan, even as Christians. We are to guard ourselves constantly because Satan knows us better than we know ourselves. Scripture uses the phrase, watch out for those sins that we easily are entrapped in. Our very best righteousness on our own compared to God's is like what? Filthy rags. So we've got to be walking with Jesus. Jesus taught with understandable stories and illustrations. In this particular passage, he taught honoring others by doing what? Washing their feet. Filthy feet. A job usually assigned to the least important slave, the lowest guy on the totem pole. Jesus was not too proud to do it himself. He took the dirtiest jobs. And I'd just like to interject that sometimes the dirtiest jobs are the ones that honor God the most. Don't be afraid to do dirty jobs to help other people. God will use you if you're doing it for His glory. Jesus corrects our aimless wanderings to walk in God's way. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who leads His sheep. Who are the sheep? We are the sheep. Do sheep always follow the directions? No. They're kind of a little stubborn. Bullheaded is one phrase I like to use, but that doesn't apply to sheep, so I guess they're ram-headed. So Jesus is the Good Shepherd who leads His sheep, us, to God's perfection. And what does a shepherd have in his hand? That's a staff. Sometimes he uses it gently. Sometimes he gives it a good whack. Have you ever found yourself hurting in life? Was it God trying to get your attention, get back in line? Did He have to smack you really good? Did He have to take something away from you so that you would understand how important He is and how little you are? Jesus gave simple, clear directions to His disciples. Honor one another. Wow, how do you do that? Sometimes that's a little challenging. Sometimes you disagree with the people around you, don't you? And yet we are still to honor one another. He also said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. What are we doing to be the servant of everybody? Honoring one another. Scripture was written so that we may follow Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 31 is the Apostle Paul's, John's final testimony to us. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. I'll get that straight. And he says he writes these things so that we will believe. He recorded these messages, these lines, these stories, so that we can read them and put our faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ. Now, we can't pick and choose which ones we want to believe. It's all of it or none of it. We don't have to depend upon oral records. You don't have to depend on my bad memory or somebody else's bad memory, or people's favorite stories. You can go to God's Word and read the information and seek God's help in understanding His truths. We have God's truth recorded for our benefit so that we will read it and believe it. Let's take more time to do that. Godly love helps others rise to better circumstances than where they are presently at. All of the disciples had walked through all kinds of filth on Jerusalem streets. The King of Heaven reached down to their filthy feet of His sinful men, cleansing and soothing their sore and tired feet. And Jesus, the King of Glory, gave us this example on how we can help others who have needs, to lift them up, to honor them. Brother Bob mentions quite frequently the practice in his original church, his background church, where they would have feet washing ceremonies, services. That's not a common practice in the Christian churches. Maybe we need to do that. Would you be in the line, ready and willing to wash dirty feet? We've got it pretty good today. Most of us wear shoes. We don't walk through cattle yards, livestock pens. Is there something greater you can do to honor somebody? Do it. Find ways to honor one another. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12 includes, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. The exalted will be humbled, and the humbled will be exalted." How much are we humbling ourselves to one another in the service of Jesus Christ? Jesus honored people, meeting our greatest need. The cost of sin has always been too great for any regular human to endure. That is why Jesus left heaven to become our Savior. No other person could do it. Jesus, who is God, took time out of eternity, left all of His perfection, and came to become our Savior. The giver of life was the only one who could defeat death. Jesus temporarily left His eternal home to save His people. For how long? For eternity. His people are those who hear and obey His voice, those who read the Bible and put it into practice, believing the stories of how God acts with people to save them. People who obey His voice. Turn with me over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul takes time to discuss this action of honoring one another, humbling ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 reads, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus didn't die for us. He didn't get smacked in the head and knocked out and just die. No, He went through one of the longest, most torturous death practices of the day as He took on Himself the punishment for our sins. Jesus laid aside all of His powerful prestige, all of His rule, all of His glory to help us sinful people. Because we are made in His image. He wants us to have the best. He wants us to escape the trap that we've got ourselves into, this trap of sin and death. He helps outcasts. He helps blatant sinners. He helps the sick. He helps the detestable. He helps the rejected. He helps you and me. Because He loves us. No human deserves God's love, but Jesus still gives it. It is called grace. Somebody's formed the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. How true that is. God does not want any person to be punished, but He calls for us to repent, turning to Jesus. To find hope and life through Jesus. And the end, to receive heaven's reward, eternal life. Followers of Jesus are to think just as He thought. We see this in the opening verses of chapter 2, of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Look out for each other. Think about the people around you instead of yourself all the time. That's a tough one, because we have this little thing that starts when we're babies. Me, me, mine, mine, me, mine, 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 me. And it's hard to shake that. But through Jesus, we can. Amen? Love each other. Serve each other. Honor one another. All who obey Jesus' command will receive God's reward. The Lord of life has promised all of His followers the crown of eternal life when we walk with Jesus. And it will be in the perfect and glorious new creation that He is preparing for us. I still like the idea God created this universe in 6 days. He's had over 2,000 years and He's been working on our future home. What in the world, no, what in creation is it going to be like? It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be more than we can imagine. But we have to stay with Jesus. We have to do His will. Honor one another. As believers in Christ Jesus, we must intentionally practice honoring each other. Plan for it. Live it every day. Don't be a sponge sucking the goodness and the blessings out of everybody around you. Be a pitcher that flows out, giving to others. Honor one another. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for Jesus who poured Himself out for our benefit. And not ours alone, but for all who would believe. We thank you for the transformation that comes for even the worst criminals, the worst sinners who finally surrender to Jesus, and they are changed from inside out. Thank you for that. Help us to continue to do our part to show your love to those around us, to live for you. And when troubles come, help us to place our faith and trust in you, to still represent you, because you never let go of your children. We have eternity to look forward to. Help us to face whatever trials may come as we honor one another to please you. Lead us and guide us in your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.